me. I'm going to read one scripture, Psalms. Well, I'm going to read two or three scriptures, but one reading right now. Psalms 18, verse 25 through 27. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but you will bring down the haughty looks. With those who are merciful, God's merciful to them. You're blameless. Guess what? You get God in such a wonderful state because he meets us where we are. He doesn't stand high on his throne and say, well, if you can reach me, you've got me. But he meets us where we are, and then he helps us in what state we're in to be the best us that we could ever be. I want to talk about his greatest desire, his greatest desire. Father, thank you so much for your presence that has been in this place. Lord, for those that are here, I thank you, God, for them and every soul. We're appreciative of them taking their time to be here. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, let your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. His greatest desire. I want to first let you know that you are the one that determines what God does for you. It's not my message. It's not the walls here. It's not our doctrine. But ultimately, you are the one that will determine what God is going to do in your life. Marriages work this way. Marriages have a lot to do with the input from the partners that are involved in that marriage. And it takes two partners. And they both have quite a bit to do with it. They can either cause it to go north or south, and I won't dwell on that. But I've seen men get married, and they just replicate what they saw their fathers do. For good and bad. It's not all bad, but sometimes it is, and sometimes it may not be. And I've seen ladies get married, and they may do what their mothers did for good. And I'm trying to stay on the good side of you ladies, because I need you to be behind me today. But since a marriage is an example of Christ in the church, we can learn quite a lot by studying how they work and perhaps how they don't work. But I want to tell you, God reciprocates. He blesses us according to our activity. If I sit still and I do nothing, then that's all right. I'm not going to get a lot from God. But the Lord does what I ask him to do. And if you haven't received anything from God lately, you may not have asked God to do anything lately. Or you may not have waited. And I tell you what, learning how to wait on the Lord is an awesome thing to learn to do. We all got to learn how to wait on the Lord. And Hosea 6 and verse 4 says, O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew, it goes away. If you didn't catch what he's saying here, that wasn't a good thing. It's like a cloud, and it just fades away very quickly. What he's really telling him is, your faithfulness is not really good because it fades like clouds. Therefore, he said, I have hewn them by the prophets and slain them by the words of my mouth, and your judgments are like light that goes forth. For I desire mercy. The Lord speaking. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. You read the Old Testament a little while, and you will get the idea that perhaps God loves burnt offerings more than anything. When you read the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy, Leviticus, all of those animal sacrifices, you can easily lose track of what requires the animal sacrifice and what doesn't and how often. It's just every time you read a verse, it's like they're killing something. Shedding the blood, sprinkling it on the altar, sprinkling it on the laver of water, sprinkling it on the mercy seat. It's sacrifice after sacrifice. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Of course, we understand it's all pointing to Calvary. But there was a lot of bloodshed, a lot of things they had to go through in order to bring about forgiveness of sins, to put themselves in right standing. He said, but I desire mercy and not sacrifice. What the Lord is saying is there's a day when I would rather just say, my mercy is extended to you and the payment is going to be paid for. Well, that's going to be on me, because I'd really rather just have mercy on you. And if you're one of those that believes that you only get what you pay for, God's gospel is not for you, because he's the one that paid for it and we're the one that gets it. Amen. And you agreeing to realize that he paid it and we get it. He paid the price and we get the blessing. Amen. We committed the sin and he paid for it and he washed it away. And we get the blessing of living sin free. Amen. Because he did it all. And I'm thankful that he did today. It's all. That's God's desire today, is that we allow him to let us walk in a life that's free from bondage, free from sin. Oh, Lord, help us today that we can grasp this offering that you're giving us today. He desires your love for him more than sacrifices. That's what God truly desires. He wants you to just fall in love with him. And I'll tell you, he'll do anything to attract you and do anything to keep you. Amen. If I hadn't have been rich, I don't know if I could have gotten my wife to come follow me. But thankfully, I was born to wealthy parents. My dad worked at General Motors. My mom was a housewife. So, you know, we were rolling in the dough. My wife, she really thought, she said, I really kind of thought y'all had some money because your dad had a really nice car. I think it was a Buick something. Really, it was his dream car. He loved it. I wrecked it. He fixed it. And he thankfully, he did those kind of things. And I said, no. We don't misunderstand. We are not wealthy people. And we're very middle of the middle. But she still married me, and thankfully I've kept her, because I've been successfully rich all my life. You know that, right? But here is the thing. I'm thankful today for the life I have, because really everything I have, it came from God. Amen. I don't just have him as a co-partner or a co-pilot, and every now and then I might need him, you know, his debit card, but I am his completely today, and everything we can be, God's the one that gave us the right to be what we are. His greatest desire, oh, the Lord, he doesn't want us to have to depend on animal sacrifices anymore. Thank God there's a better plan, and it was pointing to a different plan. The thing about a sacrifice is, it's just a form of what God was truly desiring. The sacrifice was a form. He didn't implement sacrifices and said, forever and ever, this is how we're going to do this. But it was a form of what God was really needing. It showed that salvation would not come from man's work, but it would come through blood. It just kept pointing the head. And it was an indelible arrow that pointed from the Old Testament and Moses all the way through to Calvary. And it was as straight as it could be. And it was simply saying, it's going to be blood. It's going to be blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But it's not going to be your animal that you've got to kill. It's going to be something more precious than that. Amen. It's not going to be something that you can purchase. It's going to be coming from a higher source. It showed that the blood would be, you know, from an outside source and not the worshiper. And I'll tell you that they had to bring their animals. And it said, you know, you bring a bull, a lamb, and or if you can't afford that, you bring turtle doves. Bring a couple of turtle doves. If you can't afford turtle doves, if you don't have two of those, and anybody could get those, but you may be really poor. He said, bring a handful of flour. And, you know, there's people that had to bring flour and say, this is all I got. Because everyone knew everybody's business. You lived in the campsite around the, you know, tents there, and you knew everybody's business. And so you knew this lady here, she didn't have anything. She all lost her husband, lost her sons, and when she says she only has a handful of flour, that's what she's got. And she got as much credit as the guy with the bull, because God's equitable. He's even. He's full of mercy. Amen. His kindness is everlasting. Jesus got angry with the people in the temple that were buying and selling. Realize this. That in that temple, the actual part of the temple that had the mercy seat, the part of the temple where the priest went once a year behind the veil, it was now on it. It was the third tabernacle. You know, Solomon built one, and it was destroyed. Zerubbabel built one, and this was the one Zerubbabel built. But Herod, in order to make everybody happy, added to it. And I mean, it was extravagant, and it had a huge pavements and different levels that you would go up steps and beautiful place. And around the outside of it was these covered walkways and meeting places, and it was there that likely the disciples did a lot of their teaching, and it's believed that it was in one of the rooms in this conglomerate of this temple that the Holy Ghost fell in an upper room. The reason that the crowd gathered and said, "We hear them speaking in our language on the day of Pentecost," is because many people came to the temple, and that's where his presence was poured out. But we know previous to this, Jesus walked in, and there they were in those covered walkway areas, and it was a market. They began to buy and sell there because everybody gathered there at the temple, and they were selling sacrifices. And they were basically, you know, saying, don't worry about coming from a long distance and bringing your lamb or your oxen or bringing the goat or bringing the bull or your birds in a cage, whatever it might be. You don't need to do that anymore. You just come and bring your money, and we're going to sell you a sacrifice. That makes sense. Everybody wins. We make a little bit of a profit, and your sins are absolved, and God's happy, we're happy. Except they never checked with God on that, because what he said is, let every man bring his offering, bring her offering. The head of that house, it was up to him to bring the offering that was appropriate for that family. And he didn't say, you get here, and if you can just go ahead and buy one from somebody, I hope it's perfect. Because he said, you've got to go and bring out the best of your flock. Don't bring something that's crippled or something that's maimed or damaged, something you got in a yard sale, but you got to bring your best sheep. You got to bring the best one to him, and that's what he's desiring. And you're going to bring it, you're going to give it, they're going to kill it, and he's going to say, now you're good. You're good. Your sins are forgiven for whatever you're bringing it for. That's you're good. And you left it at the altar, and you went home saying, I have faith that we're okay. We've satisfied God's plan here. And so that was the implemented plan until Christ was on Calvary. We realize that today. And so because here's the Lord. He has not been to Calvary, but he's on his way there just in a few days, just in a short time. And he goes into the temple, and there they are, the money changers. The money changers. We can convert your coins. You can go ahead and convert your money here by your sacrifice. And they had bags of money and weights and scales. You know, probably the scales weren't all correct. You know, they had the Bible talks about having unfair balances, scales and balances. And he knew their hearts. And he walks in there. Think about, they have these. Now, when I think of him overturning the tables, I'm thinking card tables, fold-out legs that have that little thing that clicks in place. I've always pictured card tables, kind of the tables we have. We don't have, by the way, blackjack this Wednesday coming up. No, seriously, we don't, no, nothing like that here. No. But I've always pictured it being pop-out legs on them little rickety tables where all he had to do was just kind of, you know, that and the wind catches it. But really, there wasn't any such table. This had to be something made out of some hewn wood or something. And so for him to turn over the table, it made quite a ruckus, which I like that. And he just went around just flipping the tables. There's scales falling, there's gold coins scattering, everything, the bags emptying out of money. Because he was who he was, realize they didn't say, who do you think you are? No, he carried with him an aura of the Almighty God, the authority. And so whenever he flipped those tables over, it was the same power he had that they said, we're going to push him off a cliff. And it said he just kind of melted through the crowd. Not today, guys. And they're wondering, why can't we catch him? Because he's got the authority that he needs. He can be anywhere he wants to be, do anything he wants to do, say anything he wants to say, and until his time, you will not touch him. But when it's his time, you can hang him on a cross, and you won't believe what he's going to do when you do that, because he's about to take sin away from the world. Amen. And if he wants to turn your tables over, he will turn your tables over, because he doesn't like your tables being in the temple. He wants the temple to be about temple things. Amen. You want to do your tables, you go out there into the marketplace somewhere, but don't ever do it here in the temple, not in the pavement, not on the pavement, not where you can see the holy place right over there. You're not going to do that anymore. It irritated him. He knew it wasn't going to end life. He knew it wasn't going to cost souls. But he just, it irritated him that you're doing something like this in my father's house, he said. You know what? We know it was his house. But he speaks ways that they understood. He had to speak in their language. Don't let my father's house be a house of merchandise, of buying and selling. I wonder when he did that, in his mind, he just glanced ahead to the last 50 years and just caught a glimpse of TV preachers, you know, and just kind of got this. You ever, somebody told you something and you don't know what it was they said, but something they said just kind of made a little pit in your stomach? You know, like you're at work and they're all talking, bunch of people in the break room talking, and then somebody says something about, you know, the layoff, we don't know, blah, blah, blah. And you just caught the word layoff, and you're trying to think, what did they just say that kind of, you know? It's one of those kinds of things. One of those. I wonder if he just went, ugh, this is nothing compared to what's going to be. They're going to sell everything. Well, I believe that he's turned over their tables also, and in ways he can do whatever he wants to do. Can you say amen? But he was angry in those in the temple selling sacrifices because they were perpetrating a disconnected relationship. Disconnected. We're taking care of your sins right here. No. He said, it's got to come from your heart, from your barnyard. It's got to come from your life. That's where it has to come from. And we're cutting off that personal aspect of it by doing this, and that's not going to work. Don't, you know, it's like he said, don't plan ahead. Show up, you know, buy your goat, whatever it is, offer it to the priest and be on your way. No, there's a disconnect, and you've got to be connected to your sacrifice. You've got to be connected to your sacrifice. How did this play out in today's world? There are people that go to churches and get their sins absolved and go home and do the same thing they were doing that caused them to come back and say, forgive me. And I'm not just talking about Catholics and Lutherans. No, I'm talking about in every church, you know, just evangelical movements at large. They will go to church because they need to get their hand stamped for that week so they can say, I'm good for another week. I'm going to go back and do what I was doing. Thank God for a gospel and for a spirit that dwells in us, that whenever we come into the presence of God, we feel a change and we leave and say, I'm not going to go back and do that again. I've been changed. I've been redeemed. I've been transformed again. And hey, what I love about God, what I love about him, he's a gentleman. He doesn't try to embarrass or reveal anything. He's the kind of God that says, it's between me and you, bud. It's between me and you. You get what I'm saying? He doesn't want to embarrass somebody or make them feel ashamed. When it's between you and him, he can do so much more. So much more. Because he can work truly on how you are feeling and what you're thinking about your sin. And then between you and God. I never did like services where somebody had to stand up. Now, that's only happened once in my life, and I was raised in the church, but somebody had to stand up and repeat their offense and say, I would like to apologize to the church. And I was a little boy going, Lord, I don't ever want to do that. Ever want to do that. So I made up my mind from that day, I will never get caught. Never get caught. Amen. You know what? But the preacher's kid was just one daughter, and my brother married her, so there was no preacher's kids, no pastor's kids for me to worry about. So I didn't get caught. I was pretty good. I was pretty good. But it's between us and God. He already knows what we are. So my sacrifice is to him. Amen. He forgives me. He desires your love more than sacrifices. You know, I always say this, growing up in the 60s, it was probably a lot like growing up in the 80s. It's just, I was young in the 60s. I was just hearing things. And I just hearing my brothers, sister, kids, cousins, we had sayings that were just terrible. You know, like it would just fall out of their mouth, like God's going to strike you dead. So I grew up thinking, you know, God strikes people dead apparently. You're going to bust hell wide open. That was common in our circle of influence. Busting hell wide open. That's like you're not just stepping into hell. You're hitting it from the high dive. And just, you're so bad, busting it wide open. And other things that I don't want to get into, just create confusion. But it was, those kind of words were everywhere about God's judgment. And so I just grew up with this, I don't know if anybody can make it to heaven. That was one of my thoughts. I don't know if anybody can. It's just because we're going to bust hell wide open, and all these other offenses. I just didn't know if there was a way. You know, really, the worship that Jesus was upset reminds me a little bit of the Facebook happy birthdays that comes up to wish you a happy birthday. And it's got all this confetti, and it's done by a computer. I don't know if you get excited. If you do, that's wonderful. Keep on that track. But there's not a lot that goes into that. They didn't get a staff meeting and say, well, Kelly McGuire has got a birthday coming up, and we want to kind of get together and do something special. And we're going to try to rig something to where when he opens up that account on that day, if he does, then he's going to get a big bunch of confetti showing on his screen. How about everybody good with it? Nah. It's a program. It's in there. It's just going to do it. You know, if they want to really impress me, let them have a Facebook pops up and tells me what's going to happen tomorrow. That would impress me. But see, the Facebook staff, they didn't go into all that. I want to read Hosea verse 6, and I read to you 4 through 6. Now, the New King James says, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." New Living says this, I want you to show love. I want you to show love, not other sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. The ESV says it like this, "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." God desires your steadfast love, not sacrifice. Sacrifice is a part of life, but he's saying, that's not what I'm looking for in you. I want your steadfast love, because a sacrifice, somebody can drop that and go back to their sin, but I want you to love me above everything else, because see, then I can bless your life, and that blessing attracts other people to me and to you. So I would rather have a relationship where I can bless you rather than a relationship where you're always scared that you're not going to make it. That's not a relationship. Lord, help us today that we can love you because you're God and you do good things for your people. He wants you to know him more than any burnt offering could ever give him. Matthew 9 and 10. Now it happened as he went, as Jesus said at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners, these were the same type of people, because people felt like tax collectors were in cahoots with Rome, and they probably were, and they were skimming and taking more tax, but they had the authority because they got a soldier perhaps on each side as they're at the tax table. You had to do what they asked you to do, and they had authority to that regard. And so he said he came and sat down with his disciples, and there were sinners and tax collectors. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Same sentence, same thing. When Jesus heard that, when he heard it, he said to them, you know, those who are well have no need of a physician, but it's those who are sick. He said, let's look at the categories here. It's those who are well, they don't need a physician. You know what he's saying? My posse I have here, they're all right. They're well because they're with me. They have me in their presence. He said, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I desire mercy. He said, I would rather show them mercy rather than somebody to give me a sacrifice. Because mercy does a whole lot better for me and the kingdom of God than my sacrifice could ever do. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I came to call the sinners. God would rather, he would rather have mercy on me than for me to come with all the sacrifices the world could hold. Because it's not the blood of bulls and goats, but just that one drop of his precious blood. See, this is all about recalibrating the relationship, just setting up the parameters. This is really very heavy on my heart today. I know I'm being kind of light, but this has been very heavy on my heart. God just wants to spend time with you. It's not about the standards of holiness and doctrines of salvation. We got those. Thank the Lord. We got to have it. We have to have our identity. And if you're struggling with it, then this is what you need. You need to come at God from that angle of, I need a relationship with Him. See, if I approach God and my approach is this, I just don't want to go to hell. Just want to make sure I don't go to hell. That doesn't get me God. That doesn't get me God. Try this, young people. Get married and say, you know, man to your girl you're going to marry, say, honey, I just really don't want to be seen as single anymore, so could you marry me? Try and just see how that works. That God feels a lot stronger about it than that young lady will, and it will hurt you. See, those who are well don't need a physician. They weren't well, but they thought they were well. So learn from this. God deals with you according to how well you know yourself. How well you know who you are, that's the parameters that God has to work with right there. If you don't know yourself and you're not aware of what your needs are, then God can't come at you from an angle that you wouldn't even recognize Him. So He's saying, I need you to know what I want. I would rather have mercy on you than for you to offer a sacrifice to me. Because when I show you mercy, I got plenty of that. Sacrifices, you're going to run out of those. But my mercy is never ending. My love is without measure. And then it's all on an almighty God and not on my weak human reactions, which I'm going to run out of energy with that also. If you're deceived by false doctrine and doctrine and too holy to listen to a sermon, God can't help you. And I'll tell you, false doctrine has deceived a lot of people. It has given them a lollipop and said, you're good to go, accept Christ and go out there and, you know, try not to sin anymore. I was talking to a man years ago, and I was taking a golf lesson from him, and he was telling me where his church went to, and I was telling him I was a pastor of a church. And right away, of course, you know, in a conversation like that, people want to find similarities, you know, how alike we are. And what do y'all believe? And I said, well, it's, you know, I kind of gave him just it was a golf lesson. You know, I was trying to learn to hit a golf ball. And I didn't, but I don't know if I ever helped him at all either. But he said, well, you know, my pastor, I really like this guy. He said, he's the kind of guy that, you know, he said, I smoke. This is an older man, been smoking. He said, I've been smoking for years. And I told him, I said, Pastor, will this keep me out of heaven? And the pastor goes, my good old pastor said, it won't keep you out, but it might get you there quicker. Well, praise God. Praise God. What a word of life and happiness and joy. You're going to beat me there. Just. Seriously, he said that to you. Yes. That's a man who's just hoping to keep everybody he's got. Y'all just keep coming. Be sure the offering plate doesn't pass you by. That's kind of what I got out of that. Today, God desires to show you mercy instead of receiving a sacrifice from you. Musicians, y'all can come. See, Jesus can't reach the ones who aren't reaching out to Him. Now, that statement I know is so basic, but hear me out. Jesus cannot reach somebody that is not reaching out to Him. Things happen to us as Christians, as apostolics. Things happen to us that can prevent the reach. Or we'll label ourselves as infected, defective, hurt, all kinds of things. And we disqualify our reaching. And we say, well, I'm in a situation where I just need to take care of these things that I have in my life right now. And or I've got an issue, a situation. You know, there's many things that we can be dealing with that can cause us to disqualify that simple, Jesus, I need you. It can disqualify us from just reaching out to Him. You know, we're bad about making rules. In our minds, we're bad about just, you know, putting boundaries up and saying, well, you know, this is one thing I know. Hold it. Do you really know that? It may be a teaching that you grasped hold of years ago that's preventing you from having victory. But Jesus can't reach the ones who aren't reaching out to Him. They don't stop by His office, you know, before going home on the weekend. They might have their own agenda. My point today is that He is so accessible no matter what. No matter what. Because he would rather have mercy. See, his greatest desire is to show mercy to somebody. He is a God of mercy. Mercy. He's a God of love, but bound up in that love is his mercy. He don't want to disqualify you. He don't want you to hurt anymore. He wants to show mercy. Let's stand, shall we? Brother Terry Schock once said, we leave in an apostolic church. He said, we leave by way of the altar. I believe that. 200 years old, all of this, what we call altar. It's been around 200 years old. My church had physical benches that we had out right now. If we had that, it would really get in the way. I think we need our space is precious here. But we just certify that this here is an area we all gather and we walk down by faith. Amen. Every one of us. We come down by faith and say, Lord, I'm coming to receive. I'm coming to give you my burden. Or, God, I'm coming for my healing. I'm coming to be lifted up. If you're here today and you know what the Holy Ghost is, you know the Holy Spirit, the power of God, you know what it is and you haven't received it, God can fill you with that today. Don't put a high wall up. Don't think that there's this huge wall you've got to get over. All you've got to do is repent. That means just make an about face. Lord, forgive me. I'm turning my life around. I'm turning away from sin. I don't have the power yet that I know I'm going to need, but in my heart, I'm turning away from it, Lord. And I know me and you, together, we're going to do that other part. We're going to be able to make it day by day. But Lord, in my mind right now, I'm saying, forgive me, Lord, of the sin in my life and cleanse it today with your blood. Cleanse it, Lord. And did you know God can fill you with the Holy Ghost? All you do is you just have to raise your hands, begin to praise him. Father, I praise you. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And in that moment of praise, in that moment of raising your hands, and he can refill you too, by the way. Oh, nothing wrong with that at all. But as you're raising your hands and praising him, and you begin to speak those words, God will take over your tongue. God will take over your voice. And you'll begin to speak in an unknown tongue. The evidence. Thank God for an evidence we hear. You shall hear the sound thereof. But thank God for that evidence. And that might be your place today. That might be your blessing you need today, is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's everything to be happy about. Everything to be excited about. But then today, your blessing, your need today. You may have a heavy heart, and you just need God to lift your spirits. What I would like to offer today is that we all make our way back down here. We had a great time just moments ago, but let's all make our way. If you have a need in your life, a need in your heart, why don't you just gather with us? Nobody's going to point you out. We're just going to come down here and let the Lord have his way. His greatest desire today, y'all, he wants to show you mercy. He wants to extend a hand of mercy and healing to you. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Jesus. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Lord, today, I pray that you would touch that family. Dear Lord, I pray that you would touch that family, Lord, that's kind of been going through some rough waters. Lord God, I pray that you would just allow them to feel your peace. Oh, I feel the Lord right now. Somebody is accessing the presence of the Lord. Someone's believing in this right now. I feel the presence of God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, this is what you wanted right now, is somebody just to lean on you. Somebody to open their heart and say, Jesus, we need you today. Our family needs you, Lord. We need you to heal us, God. We need you to pick us up. And oh, we need you to cleanse us, oh, God. Have you been damaged in the battlefield? Has your faith come under attack lately?